Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR, Sirius XM Channel 141, 96.3 HD2, and 98.3 FM. This is the Inside segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Earlier this month, 42-year-old Cedric Miller was shot to death in Northeast D.C. But he was not alone. He was actually holding a car seat with one of his children in it. And in the other hand, he was holding the hand of his five-year-old child. The children were not hurt, or were they? Well, tonight, we take a look at how traumatic events witnessed by the very young impact them now and much later in life. Can we do anything about this? Well, my guest is Dr. Siobhan Moore-Laban, counseling psychologist and director of training at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, Washington, D.C. campus. If you have a comment or a question about this really complex and important issue, give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can also tweet me at HFisher, WHUR, or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Laban, thank you so much for joining the conversation.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here.
We have heard for many, many years the saying that children are resilient because they are so young. But as it relates to trauma, that may not necessarily be true.
Well, I think that it is true that children are resilient. Children can come through a lot of adversity. Children can still thrive and be successful. Children can have really challenging, scary, and traumatic experiences happen to them. And like adults, you know, through the proper support, they can come out on the other side. So there is that resiliency piece. But there is also the piece that trauma has the potential to really be harmful to children, I think, in a way that sometimes people miss in thinking about how resilient they can be, right? That the resilience really comes with work. The resilience comes with support. The resilience comes with appropriate responses to trauma and to trying to minimize trauma to the best that one can. So the resilience is possible there, but it's not, it doesn't erase the experience that children have that are traumatic.
Mm. How young is the youngest that a child may be impacted by witnessing or experiencing a traumatic event? 2 years old, 1 year old, infants, earlier than that?
Yeah, you know, I actually would say that children, I mean, so we have some studies, which I can talk a little bit about, like the adverse childhood experience, which is ACEs, studies that show that children from ages 0 to 17 experience traumatic events in their life, things like experiencing violence or abuse, neglect, witnessing violence, having family members that you see being violated against, like having a mother that's being harmed or having a family member that attempts suicide even. These things are traumatic experiences for children 0 through 17 that have adverse effects on their life. But if we even think about children before they're born, right? Mothers, when you're carrying, you know, we're often told to try and keep your stress hormones low, to try and keep a peaceful environment around you, because actually what is happening to the mother is experienced within the body and is happening to the child. So I would say that even before the child is born, there's a way in which they can be negatively impacted by traumatic experiences that are going on around them. And even ones that they may be hearing, you know, we're often talking to children in the womb and getting them to, you know, learn our voices and, you know, trying to play classical music to increase their intelligence or all of these sorts of things that we do to children that are still in the womb, because we understand that to some extent they are absorbing the environment around them and what their mother is absorbing who's carrying them. And so they're impacted. And when they're born, they're impacted too. They experience things. You know, even when people think that they may not be responding the same way that an adult would respond, but they're experiencing it. Whether they're 6 months, whether they're a year, whether they're 2 years old, they are soaking in like little sponges, as people know, you know, what is going on in the environment around them, including some of these really distressing events that they witness and experience.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We're talking about the impact of trauma, witnessing or experiencing traumatic events in the very, very young. What impact does it have on them? What effect does it have on them? And how does it manifest itself later in life? If you have a comment, if you have a question, if you believe that something that happened to you when you were very young has impacted you as an adult, we would certainly like to hear from you tonight. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So to your point, Dr. Laban, how do you know that a traumatic event has impacted a child as they begin to grow older? What is the evidence that this child is affected? Because I would imagine, on one hand, if a child experiences a great deal of violence in the very early years, some could argue that later they become violent, or some could argue that later on that they aren't violent because of what they experienced.
Yeah, so it can vary for each person, right? So I think the first thing is trauma in and of itself, in some ways, is subjective, right? It's different for each person. So when we think about, like, well, what is a traumatic experience exactly? Mm-hmm. It really is an experience or a situation that is emotionally distressing or painful, but so much so that it usually overwhelms a person's ability to cope. And so whether we're talking about an adult whose ability to cope may be a little more heightened and it overwhelms that ability, or whether we're talking about a very young child who is probably more easily distressed and overwhelmed, not having their emotions kind of regulated and control over that, or even understanding what emotions are at that point, right? Their ability to cope is not going to be as strong. And so being overwhelmed in the sense of your ability to cope may be easy. It may occur easier for a child than what you would think about for an adult. And so I say that to say that it's important to think about the experience that a person has. And sometimes a person might say, well, I don't think that that's traumatic, or I was there and I'm not traumatized by that. Well, that doesn't mean that it wasn't traumatic for a child or that a child isn't traumatized by that, because their ability to cope with it may be very different and their level of distress that comes with it may be very different. So it's going to be subjective and different for each person, right? And then the way in which that impacts a person in the moment may also be different. So for children specifically, you might see things like them being emotionally upset, right? In the very, very young child, they might be crying in a way that is really difficult for their caregiver to soothe. In an adult or even adolescence, you still see some difficulty with kind of this soothing self-regulation, but it may look different than it would look in children. There have been some studies that show that when children experience extreme distress, sometimes they lose control of their body, especially babies, like literally flailing their arms or falling back in their chairs, kind of what you might think about as a tantrum in some ways in terms of how the body is moving. But it's actually that their system is so overwhelmed with the emotions of what is happening, and they don't have an ability to regulate it yet, that they're literally losing control. You might also see regression or loss of skills that they previously identified. I think the one that's probably the most commonly talked about is like a child who might start wetting the bed again after a while of being potty trained, right? Mm-hmm. Not always wetting the bed is equated to trauma, but sometimes this regression of skills, not talking anymore, not sleeping properly, not eating properly, bedwetting, these things that one has learned and acquired, and all of a sudden there's a regression. Sometimes that may be connected to a traumatic experience that they've had. And so it would be really important in thinking about the trauma that children experience to not only attend to, well, is this a trauma for them? And be really open to the possibility that it is traumatic for them and overwhelming. But then also to recognize, what does their response to the trauma look like in that moment? Because it's not going to be an adult response, right? They don't have the words yet. And even children that are verbal don't always have the words to say, I'm sad, I'm overwhelmed. You know, that's a big word in and of itself. I'm upset, I don't know what to do. You know, that verbal ability is not there for quite some time. So we have to really look sometimes at behavior and responses to see what the child is going through. Mm-hmm.
202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are looking at how traumatic events witnessed by the very young impact them now and much later in life. If you have a comment, if you have a question, give us a call. And we do have quite a few folks on the line. Let me go to Greg calling from Baltimore. Greg, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hey, great subject, guys. Just a first-time caller. I wanted to make a statement.
Sure.
Well, actually, what occurred to me, I was very young, so I'm now over 40 right now, but I was very young when I lost my mother. Now, I wouldn't consider it traumatic how I lost her. I mean, she did die from heart failure, but it was contributed on by, you know, drinking and partying and, you know, some drug use and things of that nature. But I lost her. I was age 9 back in 85, so it was tough for, you know, in the city back then. And after I lost her, I went to live with family members, and those family members, I guess, didn't support me in a way that was needed, because I went to live with aunts, live with uncles, live with cousins, and then eventually ended up being a ward of the state in foster care. But as I became an adult and I grew and I experienced and I learned things, I found out that it became hard for me to trust people, and it's very difficult for me to build deep relationships. Like, I can build surface level relationships, no problems, with pleasantries and things like that. But when it comes to trusting what people say to me, I know I have a difficulty with that. And I'm always asking qualifying questions, or I need questions, or I question people repeatedly about things that they're telling me that they're going to do or mm-hmm. planning to do or willing to help me with.
Well, let me see, Greg, what Dr. Laban has to say about that. I think Dr. Laban, and I'm no psychologist, but I think that is a really good example about this issue.
Yeah, it is. So one, thank you for calling in and for sharing your experience with us. It is a good example of how, even at a young age, one, that there's some things that you're still questioning, is this trauma or is this not trauma? That's normal, right? To kind of look back and try to assess, what did I really feel in that experience, and does it rise to the level of trauma, or is this more of a stressful event? Mm-hmm. I think no matter where it lands, it's a formative event for you, right? It impacted you as a child in a way that you notice still carries with you into adulthood. And one of the ways that you're talking about is the idea of trusting others. And I think sometimes for people, it's also feeling safe with other people and feeling safe with the world. So one of the things that trauma does is it can either disrupt the feelings of safety that people had as children and of trust that they had, or it can confirm the lack thereof. And so What I mean by that is that sometimes children grow up in the world, right? And in an experience, you're going into other family members' houses and you're saying people are not supporting you as much. You may start to learn a lesson as a young child that other people can't be trusted or I am not safe with them. And then when trauma continues to happen over life, because we know for many people, actually, trauma doesn't just occur once. It can occur many different times in different ways. Sometimes those traumatic experiences and just our interactions with people can confirm that thinking.
Well, hold on. Dr. Laban, I need to pause you. I'll let you finish your point, but I've got to take a really quick break.
Okay.
And let our listeners know, don't forget, you can hear every edition of the Daily Drum Insight segment via podcast on WHUR.com. I'm Harold Fisher. This conversation will continue on SiriusXM Channel 141. John Mons is next with the original Quiet Storm on WHUR. More of your phone calls after the break. Welcome back to the Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Tonight we are looking at how traumatic events witnessed or experienced by the very young impact them now and much later in life. My guest is Dr. Siobhan Moore-Laban, counseling psychologist and director of training at the Chicago School of Professional Psychology, Washington, D.C. campus. I invite you, of course, to tweet me at HFisherWHUR or find me on Instagram at Harold T. Fisher. Dr. Laban, finish your point. Go ahead and finish your point, Dr. Laban.
Yeah, so we were, just reflecting on the caller's experience of kind of coming into his youth during his childhood and experiencing that sometimes people cannot be trusted or just questioning, right, can someone be trusted? Am I safe in this world? And I was saying that oftentimes trauma can either confirm that later on in life and you kind of go through life continuing to see that people cannot be trusted or the world is not a safe place. And sometimes trauma can disrupt what isn't there. So if a person might go through life as a child actually feeling really safe and protected and trusting other people and developing these relationships, sometimes even later in life when a trauma happens, it disrupts that feeling of safety and trust. And now people start to see the world in a different light, right? And mm-hmm. see whether people are really trustworthy or not. So trauma has the ability to change the way in which you understand other people and the world and yourself and the interaction of those three.
Let me go back to the phone lines, 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Pat, calling from Maryland. Thanks for hanging on, Pat. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I really enjoyed the subject. I was raised by my grandmother, where my mother worked. But my grandmother beat me, and it started at 3 years old. I was between 2 and 3 years old. And I just don't know how effective it has been, that period of my life, to my future. I am very nervous. I'm not that trusting, emotionally concerned about what's going on now.
Quickly, Dr. Laban, your thoughts about it?
Yeah, so, thanks for sharing that, Pat. And sometimes trauma and what people experience in terms of abuse impacts them differently. I'm really sorry to hear the experience that you had as a young child. And it sounds like even in your not necessarily knowing how it has impacted you right now, you have a question about the fact that it could have impacted you throughout your life. Trauma can be tied from childhood into adulthood around anxiety. It can be tied around depression. It can often influence the way in which we begin to interact with people, and specifically abuse from people who are trusted others, trusted caregivers. It can really challenge the sense of how we belong in the world sometimes and how we form even intimate relationships with partners, right? So there's lots of ways in which that experience could have impacted you. It also sounds like maybe you have continued to work through that experience in some ways that you have continued to further your life. And trauma can do that sometimes too, right? It's not actually always a negative impact from the trauma. There's something that's called post-traumatic growth. And the notion behind that is that trauma sometimes breeds more resilience because people are really determined to overcome the hardship and the experience that they've had. So that could be a part of your journey too. And then lastly, I think I'll just say it doesn't actually have to be either or, it could be both, right? That sometimes trauma impacts us in ways that we want to change. And sometimes trauma impacts us in ways that we have found as fuel into the rest of our lives.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Pat, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Joylita calling from Landover. Thanks for calling, Joylita. What's on your mind?
Yes. Hello. Good evening, everyone. I'm a first-time caller. Mm-hmm. So what it is, what impacted me, I was 19 when I had my daughter. And my daughter was murdered when I was 21 in D.C. So that, and she was 13 months. So that, right. And the coping mechanism for me was like drinking, continued drinking. I drank for years. And I stopped, like my family, you know, they were supportive but kind of weren't. Because it was like I was to blame, but the person that did it, that person is away now.
Mm-hmm.
And I have finally stopped drinking. I've been sober for 8 years now.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And I stopped on my own. Like, you know, they were saying, won't you go to, you know, rehab or anything? I just stopped on my own because I have an older daughter, and she's, you know, she's still going through with her sister, which is my daughter. Then I have a younger one. So it's like, it affects me every day. But how I gave back to me was right now I'm out of work. I lost my job due to COVID. So I haven't found, you know, a job.
But I did want to say, Joylita, because and not to in any way, shape, or form minimize, you know, the loss of your beloved daughter, but we were really focusing on how trauma in the very young children, children who are,
I mean, I was younger
than five, younger than three, even infants. But go ahead.
My dad too. Also, like, my dad was killed when I was only 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right. So that affected me too.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So, and again, you know, we're sorry for your loss, but I will say again, congratulations for you to be sober for 8 years and to have done what so many people have not been able to do, which is to figure it out on their own.
Exactly. Yes.
And I think that is a banner that you should continue to wave, as well as, you know, reach out to, you know, to others who may be struggling with the long-term impacts of their own trauma, which may manifest itself in drinking. And so, you know, you may have a charge in the community to help perhaps save some lives by helping some people who need to stop drinking to do that. But thank you for being a part of this conversation. And again, congratulations with that.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
You're quite welcome. Before I go back to the phone lines, one of the things, Dr. Lobon, and you kind of touched on this a little bit, it's one thing for a very, very small child to experience a traumatic event or traumatic events, plural. I think we all can remember some things that happened to us when we were very, very young that happened in our family, arguments that may have happened between our parents, which may have been pro forma, but for very young people, since this is something that we were not used to seeing, could have affected us. But as a parent or as a guardian, can a difference be made in realizing that a child has experienced a traumatic event and have that parent immediately upon realizing that step in?
Yeah. Yeah, that's such an excellent question. It is imperative, really, for our parents, for our caregivers, for our trusted adults that are in the child's life, whether that is the daycare provider or school or other family members, it's imperative to step in. And there are some specific things that you can do. You know, you want to be calm in the situation to the best that you can, especially if you have also experienced the trauma with the child, but remaining calm and trying to use soothing voices, especially with babies that are like ages 0 to 2, is going to help them be able to regulate their emotions in a way that they don't actually know how, right? Think about the fact that babies are always looking to us for cues in terms of how to respond to a situation. That's where they're learning it. So somehow, whether it's in that moment or soon after or even, you know, later after that, it's never too late. Smiling, touching, hugging, eye contact, these very simple things are actually really huge for a baby because that's the only way that they understand emotion at that point. For older children, like once you get to 2 years old and they start to understand a little more, all the way even to 5, you know, you may see them having reactions where they're crying or more tearful or having some outbursts, talking with them about what is it that they're feeling to the best that they can, you know, developmentally explain those emotions. Our parents can do that, telling them that they are safe. And again, that physical touch, giving them affirmations, and actually creating an environment of safety, which we have to recognize sometimes is difficult depending on the situation, right? So depending on situations where there's like domestic violence in the home, that may be more challenging. But how do you create a situation, even coming out of that relationship, that is safer for your child so that the words of "you are safe here with me" line up with the environment in which they're around and the actions that they're seeing? Those are really important things that parents can do.
Speaking of babies, probably the most prominent example right now has to do with newborns in Ukraine, and they are being born into a world of war. And while we have seen images of them in makeshift nurseries, there are not enough nurses or parents to go around to help with the loud sounds, the trauma transmitted to them via osmosis by the adults that are around. Right. What could possibly be the long-term impact of that? I mean, we've also seen generations of children in the Middle East, and where war has been a way of life since the 1960s. Mm-hmm. Or in, you know, parts of Africa where we see the same kinds of war-related trauma. What is the long-term impact of war-related trauma on children who have been experiencing it all of their lives?
Yeah. So, I mean, heartbreaking, right, for the children of Ukraine and really for all around the world who have experienced trauma to this magnitude, right, who are born into extreme violence within their environment and war. Historical trauma is something where there has been a cumulative trauma that has occurred over time, right, where groups are emotionally, mentally really put through it, and it ends up impacting generations to come. And so we might think of that as something called generational trauma. And the way that it works is that trauma is transmitted from the first generation of the survivors to the next generation and to the next generation to come. And it's transmitted in a lot of different ways, right? I mean, we can think about it transmitted in terms of parenting, right? So even for the parents who are going through the trauma with the very young children right now, they're going to be impacted, and so is their parenting. The community itself is going through a trauma. But even in our narrative and our stories and how we express and explain our lives, we are sharing the great things about our lives and also the trauma that has unfolded, and that gets passed down to generations. So one way that people experience trauma is actually vicariously, and it is also indirect. And it can come from hearing about it, right? So even as we watch the news and we're seeing the trauma, we can start to experience some level of trauma. And so I say all of that to say the trauma ends up being something that isn't just impacting the very young child who's soaking it all in, who is being startled by all of the sounds, who is not having the level of stability and schedule and comfort that children need, because as you mentioned, there are not always enough people to provide it right now in Ukraine and in other parts of the world, and also because there's literally war around them, right? So that child is impacted. The people caring for that child are impacted. The parents are impacted, and everyone that they touch has the potential to be impacted too. That's generational trauma. And so we'll see, unfortunately, in years to come from now and in generations that unfold from now, we're going to see the impact of what's happening in Ukraine to these young babies and to the babies that they will have eventually.
Let me go back to the phone lines. Let's talk to Rashe. Rashe calling from D.C. Rashe, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Yes, hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
I was calling in because me and my kids actually experienced a trauma 3 years ago, October 9th, where me and their dad was actually shot inside of the car, and they was inside of the car too.
Oh, my goodness.
My daughter was 2 then. My son was 4. Now they're both 6 and 7. I just wanted to know, like, it's a major, like, a big impact on us. Like, I deal with trauma with them daily. Far as behavior-wise, you know, just emotional things. How do I approach them far as to see how they feel? I never really sat down and asked them, like, anything about the situation. So how should I approach the situation? I wanted to start, like, a podcast with them. I asked them, was they ready? You know, when we tried it, it just seemed like they shut it down. So how do I approach that type of situation?
Yes, I'm really sorry to hear of that experience of you and your family. That is a tremendously hard thing to go through. And I think kind of going back to a way that we started this earlier, this conversation earlier today, is to remember that the trauma impacts each person differently. And so there are ways in which it has impacted you, and you have coped and are coping and understanding it over time, and there are maybe different ways that it has impacted them. And so the first thing that you could do is to sit and talk with them, if you haven't already, about what do they remember? What was that experience like for them? What do they want to share with you about it? Have they had any memories about that experience? Right? Do they ever dream about it? Do they ever worry about it happening again? And if they do, what do they do? What do they do when they worry? And what helps them when they worry? Because that can help identify the ways that they're coping. And if you find that they're coping in ways that maybe don't seem as helpful, then you can also give them other suggestions to try and other ways to process their emotions. But the very first part is to just kind of have a conversation about what their experience is and let them tell it in any way that they can. Sometimes it's hard for children to verbalize a traumatic experience, especially if they had it at such a young age that was pre-verbal, or where they were really just building that their verbal skills. And so it can be hard to kind of pull out something that wasn't fully there and discuss it. And so if that's the case for your children, or just if it's just hard to talk about in general, you can try other things like drawing pictures about it. You can play games while you talk about it. You can try and lighten the environment around it to make them feel more comfortable. And always you can get the support of a mental health professional to aid in those conversations. That's a really big thing to process. And sometimes it may be too much for a parent to process on their own because you're still processing it yourself, likely. And so giving them some space to process it, giving you space to process it, and maybe even therapy together to process it could be a really helpful additive to what you've already been trying.
I would commend Rashe for, you know, being present even now after so much time has passed to try to address the mental health of her children as a result of this, because your children obviously are not the only ones who have been impacted by this. You know, you and their father also impacted by that. And so...
Well, their father's actually deceased, so after that, and their father's deceased.
Oh, I see. Okay, forgive me. But you are still impacted by this traumatic event, but to have the wherewithal to put your children first, as parents do, I think is commendable, and I wish you a great deal of luck with that.
So, I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much for your phone call. Let me go to Emily, calling from Alexandria. Emily, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
Hi. Thank you. Thank you. Just want to say thank you for this conversation. Thank you for the opportunity.
Sure.
Thank you for those who came before me, because it helps. I just wanted to kind of share a little bit of my story, but also kind of want to give a little bit of, I guess, like hope or for those who actually suffer from traumatic experiences in childhood. I was raised with my mother, but she was incarcerated at a very young age, I think around maybe 5. But I don't really know, because I don't have many memories from before, honestly. Like, I think like 8 years old, I can't remember much, honestly. I think like 3 memories. So, and then I moved with my father, who I didn't know as a child at all until about age 9, and with his wife, my stepmother, and my biological mother, before she got incarcerated, was in the drug scene, and that was heavy back in the 80s, I guess. And then my father, I was very excited there, but then finds out that he was very abusive to my stepmother. My stepmother was very mean to me and my sister. She had her own kids, not with my father, but with her first husband. And it was a very toxic and abusive situation. And it was like, with my father's in the military, so he wasn't really around much, and she was caretaker of us. And so it was a lot that he didn't know. And, she would kind of hide her hand a bit, and, you know. And so I kind of grew up, you know, I had older stepsisters who, one was like not away from the home because she was always running away. The younger one was not, which they now say she's bipolar, and she's had a lot of episodes of suicide attempts.
So Emily, if I may, because we are running short of time, 2 questions. How old are you now, and what impact do you believe what you've already shared with us has had on you?
Yeah, so I'm 32.
Okay.
I have, husband I've been married to about 6 years, and 3 children, 6 and under. And I now see how what I went through has now like manifested into my marriage with my children.
How?
I can kind of see myself the way my father has been verbally abusive, and the way my mother has been verbally abusive towards my children.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I'm grateful, because I feel like if it wasn't for, I think the times are changing, especially social media, where people are being more open about it, and mental health. You know, I've suffered from anxiety severely and depression, which I now know is, before, you know, I thought it was just, oversensitive, or just, you know, dramatic or whatever, or just toxic. So now I feel like I've seen it just manifest in like all relationships in my life. And I'm grateful for at least social media to bring these things and to put a name to it and understanding to it. So now myself, I've been able to, you know, reach out. I've gotten therapy. I've got my children to therapy. You know, I talk to them more. I practice different parenting styles. You know, if I snap and yell, I apologize immediately and I explain, you know, that that's me. And so I just wanted to say, like, for me, it's been a heck of a journey and it's tough. It's hard. And I just want to give hope to say, like, you know, things happen and you can get through them, you know. Mm-hmm. I was also a victim of sexual assault on, you know, my stepmother's side. And I think all of these things just kind of, I held them in because I've always been a really good child, you know, high school, college, and just really good. And then as I've grown into a wife and a mother, it's like these things started to come out and manifest. And I, you know what I mean? And so I am realizing now, I'm being more aware and kind of dealing with it and bringing these things out as to how I was affected in my childhood and what it felt like for me. And so I've been trying to, you know, get help and do things differently. And it's definitely helping. And I can see the effects. My children are affected a little bit. My husband and I went through a tough, you know, time in our marriage. But, you know, I can say that the more that we've learned to talk to them and be honest with them and try different parenting styles, it's gotten better.
Mm.
It's gotten better.
You know, once again, Dr. LeBron, we have heard difficult journeys.
Yeah.
But in each one of them, including Emily, there is a ray of sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Do you hear the same?
I do hear the same. I do, and I'm so appreciative in this story. The sharing, but in that sharing, the emphasis that you can come through it, right? Trauma impacts us from a very young age in ways that we don't fully even understand sometimes until we're in adulthood. But as you begin to understand it and as you begin to unpack it, first you're just speaking to it, right? You are letting it be real that the experience happened and that there was an impact on you. You are exploring it. You are seeking help. You are figuring out how does this impact different relationships that are important to me. And then you are making progress and figuring out which parts of your childhood will you hold on to as you move forward and which parts do you need to overcome. And there is a real possibility for everyone to not only survive trauma, but to thrive in the face of that trauma, right? To lead very successful and happy lives, overcoming the obstacles that have been there before you. Trauma doesn't have to be the end of anyone's story just because it may be an impactful part of the story. And I hear that coming loud and through these experiences.
Yes, it just appears to me that in Emily's case, in Rashay's case, and in the caller prior to that, that all three of them, even though their traumas have been different, that all three of them have, for some reason, made a conscious decision to be present and active in their own healing.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, and Emily, I can ask, you suggested, yeah, you and your husband had gone through a rough patch. How are things now?
So things now have definitely gotten better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still working out the kinks of the last 5 years,
mm-hmm.
you know, and getting married young, obviously, and 3 kids under 6 is like back to back to back. So,
woo! Woohoo! That's a lot.
It's been a lot, but you know, being intentional and always reading and learning and remembering to be honest, it's helping, and going to therapy, doing the work, it helps. But you have to stay intentional, you know, stay ahead of the game, because every time we slip, you can feel it and it comes back, you know. So it's getting better. We were almost divorced last year, I'm gonna be honest, but
mm-hmm.
here we are back now, and we are intentionally working on doing the work and healing ourselves to heal each other and heal the family as a whole. So,
well, I think this is a great way to end this conversation. You hang in there. Tell your husband to hang in there.
Yeah.
You know, three kids. Any more coming? Who knows?
You know?
You know? You just don't know.
Not that I can foresee, but you just don't know.
You just don't know.
I might give it maybe 235. I don't know.
Well, you know, hey, look, we get a smile and a laugh out of you, Emily. Hang in there. Thank you so much. Also, I want to thank you, Dr. Siobhan Moore-Lebon. Thank you so much for adding to this conversation. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Harold. I appreciate you having me here.
That is the Daily Drum for this Wednesday, March 23rd. I'm Harold Fisher. Good night.